Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Sharkcast Radio, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks, brought to you by Dyson Logistics. And we are coming to you live and loud from the RMYC Port Hacking. Good to be with you this week, Samuel. The trials are run and done. What did we make of it all?
Hey, we're 2-0. Minimal injuries at this stage. I'm pretty happy. There's a long way to go, a lot of work to be done, but there's no real glaring issues for mine, which is a real positive at this time of the year. And let me just say, how good is this environment we're in, Newman?
Oh, the Royal Motor Yacht Club at the Port Hacking, mate. They're giving us our own little bar, and you can't see the view, but we got down here before dark, and it was just absolutely magnificent. It is a hidden gem. Views, uninterrupted views up the bay, cold beer, open to everyone.
I imagine their numbers will increase through their support of this wonderful podcast, but also just word on the street. It's a hidden gem, as you would say, Newman. We are 2-0 in the trials. We just defeated the West Tigers 24-12 at Campbelltown Stadium. Pretty much our starting team, minus Captain Paul Gallen, played the first half. And they look pretty good. They led 20-0 at halftime.
That's right. Now, Samuel, in my introduction, as professional as we are every week, I forgot to introduce ourselves.
Okay.
I am Sharks fanatic Newman. I'm one half of Sharkcast Radio for all of those that may be tuning in for a new season.
Yeah.
We're here every week. And you are Sam Shinazzi,
yes.
Fox Sports statistician,
yes.
And Sydney singer-songwriter.
Yeah. Glad to be here. It's always a lot of fun. If this is your first episode, stick with us. Tell your friends. Share it around. We're big Sharks fans, and we're here to tell you the truth about the Sharks.
And make sure you write into us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com, and you can also get us at Twitter and Facebook with the handle @sharkcastpod. We're also on Instagram. So we want your content. We're nothing without your content. We're nothing without our listeners. And as Samuel said, we are very impressive in the trials, really, overall. And I think that team that we just saw roll the Tigers with relative ease, aside from the obvious omission of Paul Gallen, will be pretty close to what we'll see round one versus the Cowboys.
I think 1-13 you can lock in. That's a given. And then the bench might be a bit of a fight between a few guys.
I'll tell you who we can rule out, though, of all contention for a bench spot. I don't think we'll see Seguiaro.
I agree with that opinion in how it should be. I don't know if that's how it's going to be, though. It's all about what they think Jaden Brayley can do. If he can play for 80, we know he can play for 80. If they think and believe in him, then Seguiaro will not make the cut. I don't think you can pick him on form, Newman.
No, you can't pick him on form, and they only brought him in with the so-called second and third stringers, you know, when most of the first graders were off the field, particularly in the Manly trial. He came on very, very late in the piece. And I still think that running Jaden Brayley, if you need a 10-minute break, you can shift somebody like a Townsend or a Joseph Paulo in there and we'll be fine.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. He's on a lot of money. He's got a bit of a reputation. And I think Flanagan's got a big call to make. And I hope that he will make it.
Let's talk about leaving that one negative aside. Let's talk about the positives. The real talking point was the form of one Sione Katoa. And wow, electric or what?
Yeah, electric. We knew it was coming. We've been watching him for a year or two now, and he's carved up under 20s. And unfortunately, that's not a great litmus test.
It's not like a yardstick, is it?
No, but when you're that special, I think you know that it's going to carry on. He's stronger than what I remember. He's got a lot of strength in his body. He's not just the fastest man alive. He's pretty strong as well.
Yeah, he's also explosive, like getting the ball. And I think he can definitely do that job that Fecky does, bringing the ball out from dummy half in the center of the field, as well as add some, you know, that Ben Barber type of evasiveness. And we're going to see some special finishes. I reckon he's locked in a wing spot.
I agree with you, Newman, and he's going to be a crowd favorite. I think young Val might get a little bit lonely out there with the crowd favoritism. I think Katoa's the new
boy,
man.
Oh, boy, your heart is fluttering, is it, Samuel?
I'll be fine. I know where my allegiances lie, but just even at the Manly trial last week at home, the fans were already on his side. Like, every time he got the ball, you knew something was going to happen, and it did. He was quiet in the first half. Disallowed try from a Dugan or Lewis error, I believe, from a kick. But he got the ball, and he was over the try line. Second half, he was a lot busier, scored a try towards the end of the game, and did a lot more hit-ups and runs. And he's locked in Newman, and he's a very quiet kid, doesn't do a lot of media. I know Rob Willis has been training him a little bit, and McInnes has been training him a little bit as well. Because you know that people are going to want to talk to him.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely
that good. So
talk to him,
he's got a big future ahead of him, one game at a time. I'll tell you what, Newman, for me, first half, the big three.
No, we're talking the Tigers game here.
We are.
Because the Manly game's been run and done, and the Manly game was not as serious a hit out as this Tigers trial, where we saw probably 35 minutes of the top team.
Man of the match last week against Manly was Scott Sorensen, far and wide. Tonight, in the first half, Chad Townsend was unbelievable
in all
facets of the game, particularly his kicking game.
Had the ball, long kicks, short kicks, everything.
Yep. His goal kicking was probably the best we've seen so far in the trials, and I think he might get the nod. But he was fantastic. I thought Valentine Holmes had a really strong game in that first half.
Val did some really classy things, and then that lazy effort.
That was the second half. First half?
Yeah, his first half was good.
Luke Lewis was unbelievable.
Where does he find this energy?
I don't need to see it. I'm so happy he's still, you know, one of our top three players, but I don't want to see it in trials. It's too risky. Like, we know what you can do, bro.
I have to say, we just finished watching the trial here at the Royal Motor Yacht Club, and you were just like, towards the end, Andrew Fifita get the ball. You're like, what's he doing out there? Luke Lewis get the ball. What's he doing out there? Get him off.
What's Chad doing out there? Valentine Holmes did have a kick error in the second half, which we've seen before from him, where he just lets it go, lets it trickle.
That was
and
a
some
poor
of the
one, because it's not it like, was. You know, it was, it's not 100%. Like he was 6 inches from the dead ball line, and they picked his pocket. He was a good couple of meters, and he really got that one wrong.
For a very fast man, he sometimes lacks some urgency.
He does.
I think the coach will be into him about that. When we see it happen in round one, we'll have an issue with it.
But overall, he's got a freaky try. Basically, you know, he just had to catch it and put it down, but he was in the right place at the right time, and the touch there from Ricky Latelli was incredible.
And he set up Ricky, was almost the opposite, set up Ricky with the first try. And Val also scored a second try towards the end of the first half with some nice work from Townsend and Moylan. So, busy first half.
What do we make of Moisa? It was an improved outing from what we saw. The Manly trial, I thought he had a bit of a battler.
Yeah, there were glimpses of what he could do. He dropped a lot of ball last week. Tonight, it was a little bit better. I think Newman is biding his time. He's finding his feet.
It's a trial game. You're not going to hang him. He's too good a player. You know, the trials are there to look at those fringe guys like a Sione Katoa and Matt Moylan's proved himself, and he will prove himself in Sharks colours, but you don't read too much in the trials. But he was improved against the Tigers.
Yeah, he was. I love how he floats on both sides. That's going to be so helpful. Newman, we were discussing how first half was a great team effort. Second half, the team effort meant very little. It was more about the individual performances. You and I, we're not going to really ride anyone too much here aside from one or two guys, but we know that people out there in the internet land are probably ballistic about a lot of things. There is one point which some of our listeners have written to us about, which we both agree on still, and that is the penalties.
Yes, that was a major negative to come out of both games.
It should be pointed out that trials are heavily scrutinized.
Yeah, but
We have form.
We have form, and the likes of Wade Graham, like giving away three penalties in a row, we gave away a lot of penalties, and it's just not good enough. You know, we're going over and over the same stuff that we went over last year, and I don't think Coach Flanagan is going to be particularly happy about it. So the penalties are a definite negative. And, you know, ordinarily we'd say, it's a trial match, they're out of form. We'll worry about it when the season proper comes around, but we're just concerned that it's just going to carry on from last year and hurt us.
Yeah, and we know teams that that defend well, they don't mind giving away penalties, they can defend their line. Andrew Fifita had a good game. I believe in both matches he has not been penalised for play the ball.
And he looked very deliberate in his play the ball.
And it didn't slow him down too much.
No.
So,
no.
Good work, Andy.
You wonder who else played well?
Who?
In both trials?
Who?
Edric Lee.
Our man Edric.
He was electric in the Manly trial.
He was.
And probably more like solid and classy in the Campbelltown trial, but he looked a different Edric. So maybe he could be an option. Surely he's not going to get picked round one. But let's talk about round one. That is an absolute blockbuster. Sharks v Cowboys.
JT's 300th game.
Oh, man, doesn't it? On a side note, a night with JT and Camp. Give me a bucket.
I'll tell you what annoys me. I'll tell you what I don't agree with. And that's the money they're making on the site.
How is it fair?
It's not.
How?
It's not.
And they say, oh, you've got to be... They denied it to Gal because of the Asada thing. Are they forgetting that Cameron Smith had premierships stripped from him? Being a cheat?
It's not about that. It's not about who did what.
It is.
It's not. It's about your Edric Lees is what it's about. Why he's denied an income because he's not a superstar player. JT yeah. and Cam Smith are out there in a trial match.
It's a leg up for already two of the highest paid players.
The merchandise, yeah. their teammates are getting the money.
Stinks.
It's a cap rot for sure.
And only rugby league would do something like this. But that's got nothing to do with the Sharks. But, mate, it annoys me.
I think whatever you think of both players, styles, whatever, they're two of the greats. I've got no issue with that.
Good players.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not it. But it's why do they get special treatment?
Why wouldn't you do it in, like, round 20 and just have every person hanging from the rafter?
Yeah.
And then it's an event.
It's a testimonial. What happened to testimonial games? You remember, like, there used to be testimonial games. Steve Rogers had a testimonial game. Terry Lamb had
it's
a testimonial.
It's an English thing, right?
I don't know.
I think in England they do it.
In Australia.
Yeah.
Right in, sharkcastpod@gmail.com or Twitter @sharkcastpod and tell us what you think about the testimonial issue.
What did you think about Chad Townsend's goal-kicking, Newman?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably what we expected. He started strong but then fell away. I think we're going to learn the value of Jimmy Maloney and his how good a goal kicker he was.
Is it just going to be a case of one of them just is the kicker? So Chad, for example, and then when he starts falling away in the game, Val will have a shot or...
Might be the case. I don't know. I mean, he stepped up to the plate, so to speak. He took the kicking tee with confidence.
Yeah.
You know, he looked every bit a kicker, but he's just not going to kick it as high rate as Jimmy Maloney did. And I think you're dead right. Like, if he has a couple of poor games in a row, you'll see Val or even Hodko. The goal-kicking thing could be an avenue into the team for Hodkinson.
Agreed.
And he was okay in both trials. Steady.
He's been solid. That's what he is. He's a solid player. Josh Dugan played his first game in Cronulla colours tonight. Relatively quiet. Didn't do anything wrong.
A couple of unlucky touches. You know, he should have set up a try early on and there was a little knock on. I mean, it's a trial match. He's an Australian player.
He looked involved enough for me. He just didn't do a lot. But he looked like he was interested.
You did point out, though, that the ball didn't go to that side of the field that often.
No.
And, you know, he looked strong, bringing the ball out of our own end. Some good carries. You'll find that class rises to the top and we'll all be singing Dugan's praises. It was a steady hit out.
You mentioned Seguiara before. Whether Brayley plays 80 minutes or not, you need some sort of backup utility, in inverted commas. What are we going to do?
I still think Joseph Paulo is the man, and we've been talking about the theory. We were confused as to why he seemed to be playing prop in the trials, just a standard middle player.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a tactic by Flanneau. He knows that Paulo can fill a hole there, right? He can jump in the dummy half for 10 minutes and give some decent service. He did it last year. He put him in the middle so that he gets used to defending in the middle. It takes a few hit-ups here and there. And I think Paulo is the man.
Do you think it's realistic? Do you think it's going to happen? Do you think there's a chance?
He did it last year.
Yeah.
If you remember, it was probably when we were that brace of four or five really good games at the start of the year that Paulo was jumping in the middle. I just can't see him picking Seguiara. I haven't seen anything from Seguiara. Let's be honest, Kyle Flanagan is a million miles away.
Broken hand, out for the first four or five rounds. He's also, you would think, 5 months away. Maybe during Origin he might get a shot. Maybe. Mm. We saw him last week. He was very confident. He's still growing.
He just didn't look at first grade. He's too young. We're not writing him off.
No.
He's a kid. He's on the pathway. He could be a superstar of the future. He's just not there for first grade yet.
I mean, if three of our halves go down, which is entirely possible, he's going to get the call.
He's going to have to. And it'll be very much like, say, a Brock Lamb at Newcastle, where you've got a young kid in there doing their best, but it takes their toll. And that's... I hope he develops and becomes a gun.
Yeah.
Which he has a possibility, but he's just a young player, and there's not much body to him, so they're going to run traffic at him. So in terms of that utility player... I mean, could it be a Hodkinson type? You carry him on the bench. You get no electric. I've been using the word electricity a lot. You get no X factor out of Hodko, though, do you?
No. After last week's game as well in the trials, I thought Sorensen could be a smoky.
He was less impressive against the Tigers, wasn't he?
He was less involved, yeah. And yes, less impressive. I'm not writing him off either.
Well, I liked him. I thought he's fantastic.
He was electric last week.
Yep.
But he's not really going to float to the wing or centre if needed. He might float to the centre. And it's the same with Hockenson, obviously, and to a lesser extent, that's where maybe where Capewell might come in.
Capewell's very quiet tonight.
We're not sure if he played or not.
Yeah, we were.
We don't want to
scratching our head.
Say he did or
didn't. We're going to look very silly here, but
yeah.
Maybe Capewell is also on the outer. But the thing against Sorensen, I think, is he's in the mould of a Pacuya and a Capewell, but he'd be behind them in the queue. But like him, good player, local junior, and you can't have too many of them at your club, Samuel.
Aaron Gray looks a bit better than what I thought he might. Out on the edge. He's still a backup for me.
I don't see him pushing his way into the top 17. I think that the back line of Vallet 1, Sione and Fecky on the wings with Ricky and Dugan in the centres picks itself.
It's set.
Yeah.
Your boy Ramian is pushing hard.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah.
He looks like young Anthony Tupou.
Yep.
When he was playing for Australia, a strong body and fast and
for whether
shame you we lost him.
Whether you agree or not, Newman, it's a real problem now that we have lost him as to what to do with him. Yeah, sure.
Mate, I thought the way he carries the ball, he's a handful. And I think I'd have him above Gray, but that's just me. I don't think Flano does. I think Flano's quite PO'd that he's signed elsewhere. So yes. That's the trials. Good start to the season. We won two. Nobody remembers who wins trials when you win the comp.
No, everyone, if you're on the internet and you're exploding, just take a deep breath and calm down. You know, whether it's pro or against.
I'm looking forward to round one in a couple of weeks. I like the way we're getting about our business.
Yeah.
We look potent in attack. Our defense looks okay. The penalties are an issue.
I think defense looks really good, actually. And I think they're ahead of where I thought they'd be. So that's exciting. A long year ahead of us. Minimal injuries in the trials. I believe Big Arva's done a hamstring of sorts. I don't know whether it's anything at all, but he's off the field today.
It's worth pointing out that Dukes went up the tunnel holding his jaw after like a head clash type incident.
Came back on the bench, didn't get on the field.
Okay, so we'll watch that with interest.
And as I said, young Flanagan's broken hand about 5 weeks. That'll be a Newtown Jets thing. Aside from that, I think they're looking okay injury-wise, which is great. You want all that competition in your squad. So they're at a pretty good place, Newman. They've got a hard start to the year, which we'll get into another time. But so far, so good. Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies and with better service too because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log onto the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes, local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays, and of course the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday fishing, it's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
Eddinghausen and Green laying it on. Peachy's into the space. They're not going to get him. The young fullback scores.
Well, I'll tell you, it is one of the best scrum moves you've ever seen.
And now it's come to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrovey shores of the SCGS. The news, and we should have just had an ad for the RMYC port hacking, and it's worth pointing out that we are in the tipping comp at the RMYC, Sam. It is a good tipping comp, right? The only drawback is that it's not run online, so we've got to get a bit more information about it. But to register for it, you actually have to go to the club and sign in on the iPads at the door. It costs $50 to join, right? And if you sign up quickly enough, you get a $25 Ladbrokes voucher.
Wow.
So you can make your $50 back straight away.
Easily.
And there's a good prize pool. I think the winner won something like $5,000 last year. And so some good tipsters, and you can come and match wits with Samuel and I.
Are we in it together or separately?
Separately.
Okay.
Well, we're in it.
Yeah.
Against the, you know, individual.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so we've got to go down and register anyway.
Yep.
So please...
you can also grab a garlic bread.
Yeah, free garlic bread, have a beer, watch the boats come and go.
You've got to mention Sharkcast Pod. It's not just free garlic bread for anyone.
Yeah, you've got to say Sharkcast Radio and they'll give you free garlic bread. So the tipping comp, I've got to talk to Liam down there about it, but I think you go down and register and then you submit your tips online, surely. You can't need to go there every week.
I'm not sure. We'll work it out. If you do go every week, you can have garlic bread.
We'll give
week.
You more, but jump on board. Nathan Hunt, jump on board. Troy from Maitland. If you want to join...
You're calling people out. Wow.
If you want to join Troy from Maitland, right, send me the details and I'll go and register you.
Yeah, we can do that.
We can do that.
Yeah, anyone is welcome to
Who else do we want to join? Lynn, get down there.
Well, we want Dana, but she's a long way away, so we can do that for her.
We can register Dana.
Yeah.
We want our...
Andy, who we met. Andy from Orange.
Yeah, Andy from Orange.
I don't know if he's listening to this.
He's a Manly supporter, but yeah.
He was sympathetic towards us.
Get him on. Who else do we want? Clinton Maynard?
Clinton Maynard, we would love to see you there.
Yeah, but get down to the RMYC, have a beer, register for the tipping comp. It's big, like this is seriously, $50 in,
I love
you can
this.
Win $5,000.
Because every time August comes around and I'm either not in one of those comps or I'm, you know, just treading water at the bottom, I always look up and it's like some guy needs the West Tigers to win and he wins $5,000.
Yeah, I know. So it's big money. It's not like this. It's not like bragging rights.
Yeah.
You can make a good little pay for your end of your holiday, take your family. So get involved, RMYC, port hacking. And on the sponsor news, our sponsorship books are closed for the year.
Are they?
Yeah, we've got an exciting announcement coming up. We just got to get the ink dry on the details. Our mates from Endeavour Property Services, they are back on board.
Love them.
So if you need... if you need a garden maintenance done or a clean-up prior, pre or post-sale, get in touch with Craig from Endeavour Property Services. Of course, our legendary Dyson Logistics. Now, Dyson Logistics have provided, we can't say too much about this.
Oh, I'm excited about this.
This is exciting. A new Sharkcast trucker hat, and it is the best by a mile. It's freaking exciting.
It's the best trucker hat ever by a mile. Don't forget our friends at Shark Island Brewing.
Of course. And we're sucking back on a couple of Shark Island Brewing Company beers right now.
I do have a question, Newman. The books are closed.
Yeah.
Is that wise for a business to close their books?
We have to provide value to our existing sponsors. So, I mean, if your business is desperate to get sponsorship on here, we can work something out. But I want to provide value to our existing sponsors who have put their hands in their pockets to allow us to do what we do.
Okay, then. Thanks for clearing that up.
Now, there's a little bit of political news around the club. Nominations for the board have closed. Everyone is disappointed that I did not run. People won't be able to sleep.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Everyone's disappointed?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll tell you who's not disappointed.
Uh-oh.
Dino Mezzatesta.
Dino? Why?
I like Dino. He's a good guy. And we're going to have Dino on the show.
Right.
And we'll have a long chat with him. But okay. Like, as a political opponent, I would have been a pain in his ass.
You're a pain in my ass. You're a pain in a lot of people's ass.
Exactly. Exactly. Whether there's going to be a board election or not, we do not know yet. I believe Mark McGaw ran.
Sparkles.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Let's see. So we have to find out whether an election is required or those spots just get filled.
Heavily involved with the North Sydney Junior coaching in the recent years.
That's
didn't
right.
go too well.
Did not go too well.
But Sharks legend.
Apparently he's, how do you say, quite a character.
He's a gladiator is what he is.
Yeah. So there's that. And the only other news really, Sam, is there is a new commission structure. Does this have any impact on the Sharks? The talk of expansion, right? Let's have a chat about that.
Oh, jeez.
Peter Beattie is the new ARLC commissioner. What's his name? John Grant has left amid the boos and heckles of the peanut gallery. And Peter Beattie has come in and says, rugby league needs to expand. What's your take on it?
I don't necessarily disagree. I don't want to lose any teams.
No.
I would think there's enough players to maybe fill out one more team. I don't know about two at the moment. I'm open to hearing at least what he's got to say about expansion, but you can't lose anyone at the moment, so that's got to be thrown out the window. And if he's going to lose someone, then I'm saying no.
I've got a model for all this done. Maybe I can bore you with it over a beer. It's probably not for Sharkcast, but I think the game has to expand. You've got to have a national model. You've got to have Perth.
Yep.
And that Perth Red dickhead on LU shouldn't come into the equation.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a guy on the League Unlimited forums who's like an advocate for the Perth bid.
Right.
And he hates the Sharks. And he's a dickhead.
Okay.
But I think you need a Perth team. You've got to be in...
Good for the old time slot too, isn't it?
Yeah. It's
9:30 kickoff.
And the other thing is you have to dilute the Brisbane market by having a second Brisbane team.
Yeah, agreed.
They need a derby type setup. And, you know, it's BS that massive city, which is rugby league mad, only has one team. You've got to dilute their
market. So why are they waiting? What's the problem? What's the holdup?
Brisbane were owned by News Limited. Anytime anybody looked at doing something, Brisbane would quash it.
Right.
The South Queensland Crushers were basically crushed by the Broncos. So I think you need to have those.
There are clubs ready to go, right? Financially.
Yeah,
and
financially. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be hard. The problem is, it's player drain. You know, we'd probably lose players to two new franchises.
We've got a strong squad that we could probably lose five guys who would get a first grade gig somewhere else, I think.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. As I said, we can't lose any clubs. Newman, there is more news, though.
Yeah.
And I've talked about it. You haven't talked about it to our masses. Barry Russell, new CEO.
Yeah. So, the world's nicest guy, apparently. He doesn't start until March something.
Yeah, I guess that's just because he's probably had another job, and I don't think they'd be holding him back on purpose.
Hmm. With Barry Russell, I mean, I'm not in love with his pedigree. Like, I love the fact that he's an ex-player, and he understands the club. I'm not in love with his resume.
See, I find that interesting.
Well, I mean, you hold everything to the Lyle Gorman test, and his resume is not as good. There is the added benefit that he lives and breathes the black, white, and blue. He's a big-time supporter. He understands the history of the club. He understands how important it is to the local community. However, you know, he's never been CEO of a club before, so we can't judge him on those merits, but you've got to give him time. The only fair thing to do is to let him go in, do what he's going to do, and if we get good results, then we'll applaud them. If he does some dodgy things, we'll criticise him.
He worked for the Sharks in junior development. He's worked at Harvey Norman for a long time. The thing I liked him in is he had, I think it was 8 years, in NRL commercial.
Yeah.
So he knows how they run, and it's got to be beneficial. It's got to be.
Well, he should have a lot of commercial relationships to... Because that job is about winning sponsorships. You're essentially a salesman to get sponsorships on board and sign commercial partnerships. So if you can do that, then more power to him. But apparently he's like the world's nicest guy, and everybody at the club is psyched, you know, because he's a friendly guy with a really open and collaborative style, and people are happy.
When I started supporting the Sharks in the mid-80s, Newman, he was, I think he was in grade, but not a star, and around 87, 88, he exploded. And he was so good to watch. He was such a tough individual. Tiny little player, for those who haven't seen him play. Great chip and chase.
Rothman's medal winner.
Yeah, he was player of the year 1 year. And he should have been in a team that won a comp in, I would guess, 88, if not 89. So, as a player, he knows what's going on. But more importantly, as a businessman, he's got some experience. And, I mean, like you say, compared to Lyle Gorman, okay, not as good. I understand that theory.
But he brings a different skill set. He's not definitely not going to be a mercenary like Lyle was, come into a job and then move on. You know, if he does a good job, he's going to be in there for the long haul. And that could be what the club needs. I understand there is a real issue around the development and the retail side of the development, and that is a mess. It's going to require some serious management to work it out. They haven't got the money to build the retail side.
Okay.
And there are people that have moved into those units that are saying, we'll sell these units for 600, 700, 800,000 on the proviso that there'd be units, there'd be restaurants and shops and everything down there. And they need that income. They need the income from the sale of the units to prop the club up. And I was talking to Dino Mazzatesta about this, and he said that the club's trying to raise money for the Centre of Excellence for... The main issue is they're trying to raise money to improve Southern Cross Group Stadium, because now that the money has been pumped into ANZ Stadium and City Football Stadium, they're petrified the NRL are going to turn around and say, you guys have to play out of the SFS, which we are largely opposed to.
Yeah.
As supporters, I'm completely opposed to it, but the club is. And they're worried that they're not going to have enough strength to turn around and tell the NRL to jam it. So the only way to do that is to bring Southern Cross Group Stadium up to a 2018 level, and that costs a lot of money.
Yeah, and then what do you do when you're doing that? Where do you play? You can't do that in an off season, I wouldn't think.
Nope.
Newman, some bright news in signing while you were away in Japan. As we discussed in the first segment, Trent Hodgkinson is now a Shark. I just want to get some brief thoughts on the signing from you.
I think it's fantastic. We can sign an ex-Origin half as a backup. He's a steady player. He's never going to light the world on fire, but he's experienced. He can steer a team around the park, and he will be reliable, but I wouldn't want to see him playing more than five or six first-grade games, and I think he's largely been signed to play for Newtown. Very Flano-type signing, Moneyball signing.
Flano loved it. He would have seen the 150-game mark, Origin experience, the price tag.
And go on. Boom.
Tick, so it's a good signing.
Tick. Yeah.
Good signing.
And if Chad Townsend goes down with a six-week knee injury, you just put him straight in and...
I guess same with Moylan to an extent as well.
Yeah. No one is expecting him to be Andrew Johns, are they?
No, and he probably won't be. How was your trip to Japan, by the way?
Excellent. Unreal. Yeah. Wild times.
Yeah?
Wild times. I enjoyed listening to the Clinton Maynard podcast. Hello, Clinton.
How good was he?
Thanks for the shout-out. I was on the plane, downloaded the episode, and just... reclined and just listened to an hour chat about the Sharks. It was great. I felt like I didn't get to listen to the podcast. No, I'm on it.
Yeah, I felt like we'd both been waiting for this moment for a long time, and then we just sort of grabbed the hour and a half and went for it, and very much unscripted, which was what I was most pleased with. And thank you to everyone for the kind words about that episode. But I got to say, it was all Clinton. Yeah,
when the book comes out, I'm psyched to read it.
The book should be out very close to. I don't know about round one, but it'll be in March he's looking at, and it's called Turn Your Porch Lights Off, and it's the history of the Sharks in a sense, but also that magnificent 2016 year. So we'll probably have him back on to promote it again.
All right, that wraps us up for the news. When we come back on the other side of the break, we will have the letters. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers, as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. It tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
$5 for the men from Cronulla. It comes back for Kamali to go to Cavell. He's put it down for a try. Straight up above Danila Tuaki. And Hampstead has asked
the touch, Judge. What have you seen? And he wants to have a look at the put down. Well, he's gonna... high-flying Luke Cavell.
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spare. Got to get back.
And now it's coming to the time of the show where we go out in front of Sharkcast Pod headquarters at 1 Ettinghausen Road, Woolooware, and see what little Sharky who rips around the neighbourhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed into the slot. The letters. You can get us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com, or tweet us, Facebook or Instagram us, at sharkcastpod. Now, Samuel, got a couple of tweets straight off the bat. What do you got?
Yeah, thanks everyone for getting back in touch with us. Michael sent us a few. This one is, what's your take on Chad's first couple of trials? He looks to be talking more and a little more aggressive in defense. It's a big season for him.
I think it's a big year for Chad. I think the signing of Hodko might have been a little bit of a, well, hello, there's a fair bit of competition for my spot now, which he hasn't had. And we do know that he can get a bit of a wall in his game. So he might... this might spur him along. But in the trials, he's looked great. Kicked a 40-20. We haven't seen a 40-20 from a Sharks then since about 1964. And, well, since Todd Carney at least.
You mean before the Sharks came in the comp, they kicked one.
And, yeah, Cronulla Caringbah Sharks in 1964 when they didn't even have the 40-20 rule. And he's looked great. He's had the ball on a string against the Tigers tonight.
There is a certain maturity about him this year, which I'm loving. And you can see it off the field in the way he carries himself in the media, in social media. And you can see it on the field in the first two trials. He's becoming more of a leader. I think you're right. I think he's got a bit of a kick up the bum saying it's not just the coach's kid who's after your job. It's someone else now, former Origin half. And I think he can be good for his game, and he's a real team player. I think he's up for the challenge. I'm a big fan of his, and I hope that he can be our number seven going forward. Yeah, our regular listener and friend Lynn has written in a few silly penalties. It's only a trial, but she said the starting 13 looks set with Katoa. The bench, though, is wide open. She'd actually go with Hodkinson. It allows Molan to be deployed where needed in the back line. There's lots of options. Sorry, just to finish, there's more choices in the forwards as well, but she says no to Segi Aro.
Yeah, well, she's not on her own there, but I don't think anyone's going to fall off their chair if Hodko gets selected in number 17. Because you can put him out there, you can move Moylan to fullback, Val to the wing. You can do a myriad of things. Because you forget that the rotation now with Moylan, Val, and Dugan, who can all play a myriad of positions, it opens up so many options.
And Hodko can actually play dummy half, right?
True, yeah. So he could come on and do 10 minutes at dummy half. He looked okay defending against the Tigers. I wouldn't have an issue if he was picked in 17. I mean, it's not going to... I would definitely not have an issue with it, and I'll be happy to see how it goes.
I got one more for you, Nima, for the moment, and that is from Manya Shark. I'm worried about our goal kicking this year. Jimmy won us a lot of games with his kicking, often winning games by 2 points. Those close games determine whether you play finals or not. Completely agree with you.
I'm with you on that one, Manya Shark.
Manya Shark, thanks for your input, and I think it's a work in progress. They're going to have to do a lot of training, and hopefully all three contenders can improve. Chad looked okay tonight. More impressed than I thought I would be with his kicking. I hope we score a lot of tries this year, Newman, because I can see us losing a few by two.
Yeah. That's otherwise. Fair enough. Well, let's... What did Chad kick tonight? He kicked one from the sideline and missed two from the...
He kicked two from the sideline.
Yeah, he missed one from sort of halfway between the sideline, a bit of an awkward angle, hit the post, and he missed one from right on the sideline. So, you know, he kicked a few goals. And now we got an email from Michael in Canberra, a regular emailer. He hits a bit of a sore spot for us, Samuel. He says, what happened with the Manly commentary? I thought you guys were doing it. It seemed it was a high school kid who didn't know the players and some Manly plotter. How did they pick those guys? Bad move, Sharks. Well, we were informed that we needed to audition for that role. We auditioned and they picked other people. That's just the way it goes.
And to be fair to the main commentator, he is just a young fella. I watched the game back.
He's literally like 16, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a bright future. Unfortunately, his first hit-up was wrong, and our friend Rob Willis corrected him as nicely as he could. And from there, it just was a little bit of a negative vibe as far as player ID goes. But his actual gift to the gab was pretty impressive, like a young Andrew Voss. So
I listened to it because we were at the game, obviously, and I haven't watched the stream.
We moved on, haven't we?
I was disappointed not to be able to do it. That was a major highlight of my life, getting to call that trial with you, Sam.
It was a dream, yeah. So, it was a dream.
And we appreciate everyone who tweeted in messages of support, but other people deserve opportunities and away they go. The Manly guy, I spoke to Rob about it. Manly paid for half the trial, to half the stream costs, so they wanted to put their own guy in, which is fair enough, and the guy was apparently an absolute punish.
I watched the stream back, as I said, and he was horrific.
And apparently, he's like ex-West Tigers. He's not even like a Manly supporter. He's just like a...
You'd know the name. I can't think of the guy's name, but you'd know him.
Media mercenary. We would never do this, Sam. Someone actually said that to me.
Let's go to a Broncos podcast.
If Lyle Gorman rang you and said, can you come and work in the Manly media department, would you do it? No way. I wouldn't do it.
I will say I've got no problem with someone doing it, Newman, in all honesty. But you and I, we're quite passionate about this little club of ours. And we did have a lot of fun doing that a couple of years ago. It was a lot of fun.
Mate, it was great times. He also says, other than that, he didn't just write in about the commentary. He also says Moylan was not very good. His linkage was off. But I thought he come good. He's okay.
That's a timing thing, yes. Yeah.
If you remember, Maloney's trialing was awful.
Where we were calling that game was right in front of it, and his second touch, he threw an intercept. I've got a tweet from Aaron. Katoa, is he the fastest player we've had in a long time?
The answer is
yes. He has such good acceleration. I think the answer is yes, Aaron, with all respect. I think that Flanagan was quoted as saying that he's quicker than Valentine when Valentine was coming into grade, and that was lightning. So he's a special one.
I think he's going to be one of those really raw wingers that we haven't really had that are just incredibly in attack, and we just have to let him learn to defend.
We had Josh Adokar in under-20s, and we let him go, and you saw what's happened to his career since. They're probably on the same speed level, but Sione is a stronger runner. He's a lot stronger.
Now, we got a message from Jason at, I think Jason is at Sutherland, and Jason is the fin guy. He's the guy who carries the big illuminated fin to all the games, and he's a
lovely
passionate
guy.
Supporter of the club. Anyway, he's going to the Sunrise program on the 9th of March, Friday morning the 9th of March. And I think that's a Friday morning. 9th of March, anyway. I don't have a calendar in front of me. And he wants someone...
That's game day. That's Cowboys game day.
Cowboys game day. He's going to go do the Sunrise and walk around with the fin in the background. And he said if anyone wants to come and join him, drop us a line and we'll put you in touch with Jason.
Absolutely.
So that could be a bit of fun.
Tweet from our friend Matt Crosby, who's now up in Townsville. I'll bet you he's just waiting for that round one game.
Oh, he'll be pumped.
Yeah, him and Renee. I'm happy with the team in the first half. Ueli and Katoa are a must in round one. So there you go. He's putting Ueli on the bench.
I like Ueli.
Segi didn't look good. In my honest opinion, Hoggardson played a lot better. Ava and Ueli on the bench. Dylan, backup prop. We have to tell everyone that Matt loves
Kurt Dylan,
but Dylan's a good player. Gray and Aramian as the backup centres. So that's pretty good stuff, Matty. Thanks for that.
That's right. Now, I got another interesting email. Some people on Facebook land might remember Ricky Hill.
Yes.
He was a bit of a madman on the Facebook groups, making a lot of videos, and he shot to fame with his impersonations of the mascots. I got a message from him. Ricky has been sober now for 400 days.
Bless.
He's no longer on Facebook, and he's very happy and healthy, and he just wanted to say good day to all the Sharkcast crew. So
isn't that a great story?
Good on you, mate, because, he wasn't going down a good path.
Not only getting off whatever he was doing, but getting off Facebook's a great thing too, I'm going to say.
Facebook.
It's a very unhealthy place sometimes.
If it wasn't Sharkcast, I would not be on Facebook, because it's the only way we can interact with our audience.
Carl has interacted with us, Newman.
Go ahead.
He said, Segi is a waste of money. Please get rid of him.
I wouldn't be surprised, Carl, if there were moves in the background for that to happen.
You're going to like the second part of his message. He'd play Captain America on the bench as cover for young Jaden.
Okay, cool. All right, so make sure you write into us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com or tweet us @sharkcastpod. We will talk about what you want to talk about.
We've still got some more talking to do, my friend.
Oh, wow.
Pearl Jam Howard. Mm. That's the Twitter name. Mm. Interesting name. He would play, I say he, Hodgkinson instead of Seggy on the bench.
There you go. There's another
that's
vote.
That's another vote.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Bit of a movement.
Now, let's talk about Pearl Jam. Are you a fan?
Look, it's going to annoy you.
You are a fan, aren't you?
More than I'm not. I've seen them play maybe twice. I'll say this. The more they do, the more I like them. So I'm not really a fan of the grungy stuff. Mm. But I think they've become a pretty good American rock band. So if you were to watch them live on YouTube at a concert right now, you'd be impressed in the fact that they're not really a grunge band anymore. They're just sort of playing some rock. And it's almost like that Heartland stuff I love. Bit of twang and... Mm. Sorry, Newman.
Okay. Fair enough. Macca's, Ben McGregor's favourite band of all time.
Two more for you, and they're repeat offenders. Money Shark says the combinations will come. Jesse Ramian has to be in the 17 somewhere.
He likes Jesse.
And our friend Michael, he said, what do you think of our attack? A couple of lucky tries off kicks. Shane Mullen only played 40 minutes. Oh, I think that's a little bit harsh there, Michael, but I know where you're coming from. I mean, you're correct.
You got to have that luck. And that luck comes from creating pressure, creating dropouts, getting the ball in the right places, putting the ball in the right places, having the right kick chase. So I don't put it down to luck. I think we were much better than the Tigers tonight. And our attack was good.
Chad's kicking was outstanding, particularly the first half. There was a lot of depth in his kicks. Some forced dropouts, and off the back of that, there was some luck in some of the plays. But even that one that Valentine scored, Ricky Latelli showed a lot of skill. Little flick pass. Let me ask you something about rock and roll. Mm-hmm. Where do you put the song There She Goes by the Lars in the history of songs and songwriting? Is it high for you? Is it nothing?
It's a banger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it in your top 10 of all time?
I don't know. No, I wouldn't put it in the top 10 of all time, but every time I hear that song on the radio, my wife really likes that song, so she plays it a lot.
I'd say it's probably my top five.
Wow.
It's just the recording and the song.
No, we knew my top five.
You prefer the version that was in Dawson's Creek by the American band that covered it, do you?
Who was that? Dawson's Creek.
I can't think of the song. Yeah, yeah. Where do you put Boys Don't Cry, the song and recording, in the history of rock and roll?
Up there.
Top five?
Not top five for me, no.
Top 10?
Not top 10, no. It's not even my top Cure song. Love song.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
We should do a podcast on The Cure sometime.
We should do our top 10 songs.
Big fan.
As if anyone's going to care.
People love our rock and roll chat. We did that one from the pub the other week and everyone was loving it.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to end with Descendants' Hope. And as we say every week,
we got hope, baby. Go the Sharks.